the Hallmarkies podcast, and we're very excited today. We have another one of our interviews with Hallmark talent, and we're so excited to talk to Nelson Wong is here. And
hi.
And thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Hi, it's great to be on the podcast. I love the Hallmark family, and it's exciting to be here. I've visited a few Hallmark worlds.
Yeah, you certainly have. And so what we like to do is we like to ask our guests to introduce yourself and tell us what inspired you to become an actor.
Okay. Well, I'm Nelson Wong, a.k.a. Kenny Kwan in most of my movies. And what inspired me to be an actor? Oh, and I'm at Christmas at the Plaza this year.
Yes.
That's the one this year that I'm very excited about, November 28th.
Yes.
Christmas at the Plaza. Directed by Ron Oliver, my good friend Ron Oliver.
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot about that for sure.
Great.
Yeah.
What inspired me to be an actor? Well, I was always the class clown. I guess that was sort of my reaction to not really fitting in. I'm a child of an immigrant family that moved to Canada when I was about 6 years old. And so I got made fun of a lot for my accent and for not fitting in. And I guess I was inspired by my mom, really, who was always able to find a funny way around it. If she could, you know, she made connections by making people laugh. And so that was sort of my response to bullying, I think, was just getting people to feel something, to get them to laugh. Or I would do little skits in school during lunch break. And then I just caught the bug. All my heroes were people like John Ritter and Kevin Bacon and other actors that I'd seen on television.
Uh-huh.
And just when it was time, I just decided this is what I wanted to do with my life.
Did you do any like theater early on, like in high school or anything like that to kind of get you, get excited about acting?
You know, I had a great mentor in high school. Heather Robbie was the drama teacher, but I oddly enough, I didn't actually do any drama in high school. Mm-hmm. I was more of in the art class, drawing and making comic mm-hmm. books.
Oh.
And it wasn't until I moved out into outside of high school that I realized, no, I'm gonna give this a go. It was just one of those things when someone asks you, if you had all the money in the world, what would you do?
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly didn't have all the money in the world, but it was one of those trick questions where they say, if you had all the money in the world, what would you do? And then just why don't you just do it anyways?
Right.
And realize that there's a way in which you can make a living, or there's a way in which you can reap rewards for following your passion. And that made a lot of sense to me. And that's why I just decided, yeah, I'll commit to this acting thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's maybe something that people don't realize, especially when you're young, that you don't have to be a movie star. You can have a good, fulfilling career as a working actor.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. In fact, sometimes stardom can get in the way of working, you know?
Right.
You hear some names and then they're sort of iconic for what they do. But the people who are sort of filling in the support roles tend to have a good longevity because they fit they're pieces that fit the puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense for sure. Did you grow up in the Vancouver area or is it Canada?
I was born in New Zealand.
Oh, that's right. And you're immigrants.
Right, and then moved to Vancouver when I was 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And then just I've been here ever since. It's really gorgeous. Like the nature is amazing. Yeah. I think you see some of it in the evergreen trees that are in some of the Christmas movies. But
yeah,
like in the Wedding March series, you see the inn and the lake. It's really nice lifestyle up here. Good air, really close to nature, and we still have a lot of visitors from all over the world. Lots of tourism, and the industry is quite vibrant up here because of the natural environment, but also we mm-hmm. still have the city and lots of places that look great on film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I've never been to Vancouver. I really want to go after interviewing so many people after covering Hallmark and talking to so many people about it. But it seems like the perfect place for Hallmark because there's every kind of environment. There's like a beach, there's a city, there's small town. there's kind of everything pretty close, it seems like.
Yeah, it's pretty special to be around that sort of energy. Like, yes, there's the city with all the people and that social energy that you can have. There's the business side of things. But then there's also just being by the elements, like being by the ocean. There's something about the water, something about trees and the earth and the rocks and the clean air that we get. It's really rejuvenating and quite inspiring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe it. So when you got your very first role, did you did you like freak out? Were you so excited?
I was. It wasn't even a speaking role. The first role I had was like a lottery commercial, and I felt like I had won the lottery.
Yeah,
and I was like the best man at a wedding. Within the spot, we were told to jump up and down like we were happy, and it was really easy for me.
That's really funny. Yeah, I know. I totally would have a that thing you do moment where everybody's like, yeah, freaking out.
I think I still do that happy dance every time I book a role. So it just stuck with me.
That's good. That's good. You never become jaded. You never
lose
that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So it was your first role for Hallmark was the music teacher, I think, on your IMDb?
I think actually it was the Wedding Planner Mysteries, not mistaken. I mean, I'd done a few Christmas movies before, Chasing Christmas with Tom Arnold and All She Wants for Christmas, but those were weren't part of Hallmark. I think the first one was Wedding Planner Mysteries.
Oh, okay. So that was with, that has Andrew Walker in it, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Yes.
Yeah. Interesting. So yeah, that must have been exciting to get to get
I'm to actually your first up right now. Let me just see.
Your first role for Hallmark. It's hard to tell sometimes because from IMDb, sometimes it's hard to tell what is filmed first.
Oh, right. I see here now. Your music teacher seemed to have come out first.
Yeah. That sometimes can be, but the music teacher, that was your first time working with Ron as well, right?
No, actually.
Wrong on both counts.
All right, should we go into the Kennyverse?
We will. But
we will? Okay. Because it's kind of synonymous with the working relationship with Ron.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was your first project with Ron?
It was very, very early on. It was in a mystery series for all the sleuthers out there who like mysteries. It was a series called the Donald Strachey Mystery Series, but for the HERE Network, HERE TV. And it was about Donald Strachey, who would solve various crimes. And on the very first episode of it, Third Man Out, I was the hotel clerk. On his first day of the job, practicing his lines in front of a mirror. It was a very actor-proof role.
Yeah.
That Ron had created this character, Kenny. And that moment was really funny, and apparently it tested very well, is what Ron told me. And so they decided to bring Kenny back. So the idea was that he had got fired from his job at the hotel desk clerk because he didn't keep the private detective away from the manager. Who was a bad guy.
Yeah.
And so on the second episode, shock to the system, I come to his office and say, well, you got me fired from my job, so I'm looking for a new job. And I got folded into the family of the detective series as sort of a sidekick and budding detective under the tutorage of Donald Strachey, played by Chad Allen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So did you and Ron just super hit it off, or this relationship kind of start?
He was making movies up here. I think at the time he was making a movie called Thralls. Uh-huh. I believe there's another title called Blood Angels about these vampires. Uh-huh. And we had met through mutual friends and established a quick friendship. And he came to see one of my shows. He doesn't, he loves TV and film, but to get him to see some live acts is quite the commitment. And so I told him one time,
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
I was doing a sketch comedy night with friends, and Mr. Oliver came to see it, and he had a good time. And then he was like, "Well, I'm gonna put you in my movie," and nice. We've been doing that ever since.
Uh-huh. Yes,
that was probably back 15 years ago.
Oh my gosh, that's great! So you got a ticket. You're like, "Oh my gosh, he's actually here." He's
at the yeah. That was he even brought Chad. So it was him and Chad Allen, because I guess they were preparing for Third Man Out, and it was fantastic. It was such a fun night.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he seems like a really really fun guy. If we follow him on Instagram, honestly. Wow, he seems like he has really. He seems like a really suave, fun. Seems like a guy who could put on a pretty fun party.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. He's got a great history as in entertainment. He's very well put together, and he definitely knows how to make it just right. Lots of elegance there.
Yeah.
He's definitely someone I look up to.
That's great. So how did the Kenny thing, it was just random. That was your name on this show.
And then it started off with that. I think, well, Ron created the name Kenny Kwan, and I love the alliteration. It seemed to clear in terms of, it was a name that we could use, but it was a name that Ron invented. And each time it just became, well, let's, what's the Kenny part? Let's put Kenny in this. So it's been a 15-year collaboration. I say collaboration, but I really mean mentorship, because I really get to benefit from Ron's incredible, vast experience and knowledge of entertainment in all its forms.
You ever have like, someone you're introducing yourself to someone and just like, you might know me as Kenny. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I have several name tags. I bet say Kenny. Yeah. That's just from the props department. Thanks everybody.
Sure. That's really interesting. I mean, there's not that many actors that have done as many, unless you're thinking of something like, say, Kelsey Grammer playing Frasier, you know, or something like that. Like that. But you've done it in so many different movies with the same name.
Yeah, it's been 15 years, and I think Ron and I have made 25 films.
Yeah, that's together. Amazing.
And in three of them, Kenny had other names. Like I think there was a movie where I was Detective Jeffrey Wong, or like in I Do, I'm named Jerry.
Uh huh.
And there might Oh, and in a thriller called Something Evil Comes, I play a fella named Chris. But within those movies, because they're part of the, you know, the Ron Oliver universe, or as some other fans have called it, the Kennyverse, when Kenny's there and Ron's working, then I just assume that Kenny's undercover. He's just using another name. He's still working on his private detective's license. He's just deep undercover.
Yeah, you get a non-Kenny role and you're like, wow, this is going to have to be super method. I'm going to have to go way deep. I don't know what to do here.
Yeah. There's a lot of homework before that movie gets out.
That's really funny. Yeah, well, that's so cool that you guys have gotten to work together so much and it had this. Do you have a favorite version of Kenny in
favorite version of Kenny?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I mean, for I know they're also special. Let's see. Let me think. I don't think I have a favorite. There's certainly ones that stick out for me. Uh-huh. At the Plaza, I got to the fun thing about the Christmas at the Plaza, as it pertains to Kenny Kwan, is that I get back to my roots. I'm a hotel clerk. I'm a front desk clerk once again, but this time I'm at the most prestigious hotel, I think in the world, but in Manhattan, certainly in New York. And I'm the head concierge with my I have special concierge pins that as part of my costume and wardrobe, and it's sort of a designation. So I like to think that Kenny's come very far in his 15-year career as a hotel clerk.
Yeah, yeah, he's really making waves there. It's pretty good. Mm-hmm. So have you? What's the coolest place that you've been able to shoot a movie, because out of these 25 movies, have they all been in Vancouver? Or,
well, Christmas at the Plaza actually had me go to the east, right? The story takes place at the Plaza Hotel in New York, and it's a very busy place, very obviously a very prestigious and busy place in Manhattan. So they could shoot for only so much amount of time, and then they had to move the production to another place that had these beautiful buildings. And up in Canada, we have Winnipeg, which is, I guess we would call that east. It's thinking, because still they say it's part of Western Canada, but it's just because it's west of Ontario. It's still east of Vancouver anyways. But the buildings in Winnipeg are amazing. They have these gorgeous sort of turn of the century vintage buildings, these wonderful institutions. And we got to shoot at the Fort Garry Hotel in Winnipeg, and it was just lovely being there. And it's always fun to travel for work.
Yeah, that's really cool. I was going to ask if they did any filming in New York City, or if it was all, we kind of joke that you get so much of Vancouver as New York, or Vancouver as Chicago, or Vancouver as, but so they did shoot some in New York City.
Yeah. There. Yeah. It was quite the privilege to be able to shoot at the Plaza Hotel. And from the little bits that I've seen in terms of some of the photos and little things here and there while I was on set, it's absolutely gorgeous. I'm really excited to see how that energy of New York and of the Plaza Hotel translates to the romance on screen. What I saw, it was just elegant, beautiful, and every frame had a vibrancy to it for me.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask about what was it like filming The Christmas Train? Where did you guys film that?
The Christmas Train was so much fun. So much talent on board of the Christmas Train. You know, you've got Dermot Mulroney, Kimberly Williams Paisley, Danny Glover,
Joan Cusack. Person.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it's exactly right. I was saving her for last.
Yeah.
It's like the main event. Yeah. it was really fun, but because it took place in a train, it was a train that the production had built so that could move pieces of it so that the cameras can fit, so all of the crew could be in there without having to sweat too much. I'm sure they were sweating, but they would have sweat much more if it was a real train. So they built that. And so we spent a lot of time sort of in this place with, you know, the interior is a train, the exterior is this just a collection of 2x4s and stairs so we can get in. But it was very much like camping. We had a green room with the actors and these Barco loungers sort of that were there from the old business. I think it was their staff room originally from the old building that we were using. And it was really fun. If we weren't having fun on set, we were in the green room, just huddled together, telling each other stories. It was really fun.
That sounds fun. I'd like to take a second from our interview with Nelson to thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. They are the good folks over at Glamour Jewelry Box. And right now you can save $5 on your first month subscription. Go to glamourjewelrybox.com and use code Hallmarkies during checkout. it's really cool what Glamour Jewelry Box does, because we all want to feel plaza worthy, especially during the holidays. And the thing that I think can really help is if you have the right accessories. And with Glamour Jewelry Box, you get sent every month, a necklace, a bracelet, and a pair of earrings. And they really try to be trendy, but not like weird trendy. And so it's something that not everybody else would be wearing. It'll be something unique, but also tasteful and classy and beautiful. And I was really impressed with the pieces that they sent over. And so you can get $5 off your first month subscription. Go to glamourjewelrybox.com and use code Hallmarkies. Mm. So your character was the bartender, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So I died laughing at some of those drink names that they had on there. Like I just remember the Tiny Tim and some of these things. I'm like, what is that name?
All right. And then, yeah. Yeah.
Like that's a small child. Why are they naming an alcoholic beverage after them?
Yeah. Well, is he the one that says good night, everyone?
Yeah. God bless us, everyone.
It's probably the last drink you'll have before you go to bed.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's probably true.
Good night, everyone. Nice and warm now.
Yeah. God bless us, everyone. I didn't think of that. That's funny. Yeah,
it comes with its own. It comes with its own salutation. It comes with its own cheers.
And so, is there any sort of difference in the experience of shooting and filming and making the movie between the mysteries versus the other Hallmark movies, or is it basically the same?
That's a cool question. I think the Hallmark movies and mysteries is very different from the sort of the romantic comedy sort of lush holiday festive movies that you get on Hallmark Channel. I feel like Hallmark movies and mysteries gives you opportunity to have a little bit more suspense and yet sort of quirkier characters, because you have to have your suspects and your victims, you know, the mysteries allow you to do. So they're both incredibly fun to work on. I feel like the Hallmark Channel holiday movies are like showing up to a holiday party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the movies and mysteries, we get to really delve into that sort of the edge of, ooh, is this a good guy or a bad guy? And it gets quite fun to play those characters too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the impact they have on the other characters in the world around them.
Yeah. Yeah. I enjoyed this one, I think it was Ron's first mystery, maybe not. The Picture Perfect mysteries, this recent one.
That's the first one with the, ongoing.
Yeah.
And on like a mystery wheel. They're working on part two right now, as we speak.
Well, it had a cool kind of like 1960s kind of style to it. I particularly liked the opening credits. And it kind of reminded me a little bit of like something like Charade or kind of thing. Like I liked that vibe that they were going for.
Yeah, the sort of very inspired by movies. The graphic designer Saul Bass, Oscar-winning work on Vertigo and I believe Anatomy of a Murder. That sort of 60s style absolutely informed the animated credits. And
that was cool.
And the production the folks who did the opening credits really brought it up a notch. It's just so tasteful and wonderful and whimsy, and really gets you in the mood for today's television mystery. You know, it's lighthearted fun, but still has that fun edge of suspense.
Yeah. It was funny because there was that had a shooting at a wedding, and then in Aurora Tea Garden there was also a death at a wedding. And I think, and I feel like there was one more that I can't think of, but like nobody's gonna want to go to a wedding.
Well, you got to make sure when you make that decision, you've resolved all the issues with the people who are invited. It's mostly
till death do us part is very ominous. there.
Well, it's such a pinnacle moment. You've got your friends, your family, everybody watching this decision that you're making in your life. It's generally that's a great thing. If you can do it, if you can find it and you can celebrate it, that's great. But it's definitely ripe for mysteries in terms of suspects and who could have done it and why.
Yeah.
So it's very fun for story.
Yeah. So you said that you did comedy shows.
That's like right.
Improv and stuff like that. So is that something, is that something you try to kind of bring where appropriate to find the find the humor, find the comedy in a role?
Comedy has always been very important for me, just as as an audience member and just surviving the hardships of life. I like to think that, some people say that comedy is a mix of truth and pain and distance. And I like to think any sort of drama from a distance is hilarious, can be funny.
Right.
It's certainly
like the tiny
times
Tim.
When
yes.
Yeah, from a distance.
Yeah.
Tiny Tim was always lovely. I think he was very popular.
Yeah.
He was a very sunny character. He was a very sunny character from what I remember.
Yeah, I mean that's true.
Yeah.
That's cool. Because I feel like I can feel that in these, and not that you don't want people to take it seriously, but I feel like it's always nice when there's sort of that little twinkle in their eye. They're bringing whatever kind of humor, because that's what we do as humans. Like most,
that's right.
Of us
humor, that's what keeps us going, right?
Yeah.
you have to. What is it? You have to laugh to keep from crying.
Yeah, that's right. Because most of us are, because things are awkward and whatever,
bad.
And
I'm
so
all for crying.
Yeah, for sure. But even when even typically in hard situations, I feel like you end up kind of laughing a little bit. You can have somebody will tell a joke or just to break the ice and just to get everybody to kind of calm down.
Our minds play so many tricks on us where we think that everything is life and death. And when you get through any sort of pain and you're still breathing, you got to laugh.
Yeah.
Because it's not as bad as you thought it was. Or there's just on the other side of a painful experience, what is it? Right? Oh, I've experienced pain. So what's this other side? And when you realize that you've come out through pain to whatever this is, you realize, oh, there's more. And that in itself is a punchline. And that in itself is something to celebrate.
Yeah.
And, laugh can be relief, but it could also be celebration. And I think that's so often people avoid pain. And there's all these stories about pain that our minds make us afraid of and make us avoid it. But it's kind of like, oh, when you experience pain, you get out to the other side. What is that feeling? It's kind of exhilarating to realize that there's life after pain.
Yeah. No, it's
and that's worthy well of laughing
said.
About.
Very well said. I completely agree. And you kind of, it makes you feel more like I really connect with this person, and like they can, obviously you can take it too far, but it's just, you try to bring, it just makes them more human when they're not just taking everything so seriously.
Now I would, I would put that on my mom, because my dad is not the laughy, happy kind of guy. He's the one that takes everything seriously.
Yeah.
But you kind of need both.
Yeah.
It's the old convention of, you need the funny one and then you need the straight man, right? Like Homer's only funny because Marge is sitting there judging him.
Right. No, that's so, very true. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my mom and my dad.
Yeah, that's true. Especially in a couple, you kind of need it's really hard if I think just from observing, I'm single, but just from observing couples, it's seems very challenging when you have two very strong personalities, two very opinionated people, when you have them in a relationship, it's like, woo.
Yeah, we need everybody in the world, right? We need that contrast. You need the grumpy ones. You need the sunny ones.
Yeah.
They work better with each other rather than without each other.
And you certainly don't want anybody to be like dominated, of course. That's not healthy. But
no, of course
that balance of a person who I just feel like my parents are such a good example, because my dad is more the idea person. He's an entrepreneur. He's very, very energetic. And my mom is more she's more calming or nurturing. I wouldn't say she's quiet by any means, but just in the sense of sort of, she's just very supportive. And I think that's what makes them a really good match.
Oh, that's lovely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's nice to be able to observe that too, to see, relationships that have high contrast. They're different people, but it makes sense when they're together. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, because my parents, they don't have a ton of like hobby interests to the same, you know what
right.
I mean? Like my dad loves to go on this dirt bike, motorcycle, and do stuff, kind of thrilling stuff like that. Where my mom is more, she loves to read, she loves to knit, she loves to stuff like that, and she loves art. She's an artist, but I think that because they both respect each other and their interests, and so it makes
it there's got to be a curiosity too. Like, how does that work? I do this all the time. What does that look and feel like? And there's something that each gets to share with the other, and you get to be the expert with the other. It's very similar to the sort of the chemistry that we have going on Christmas at the Plaza with our character, Jessica Cooper, played by Elizabeth Henstridge, and the other character, Nick Pirelli, played by Ryan Pavey. And Ryan sort of has that man of the earth quality to him. As Nick Pirelli, and Elizabeth Henstridge as the PhD in archival history, Jessica Cooper, has sort of that well-studied, look at these artifacts, sort of bookish quality, and the chemistry on screen makes a lot of sense. It's very much like the relationship between your folks and my folks in terms of that coming together of two different people, but that chemistry just makes sense, and there's almost a sense of relief and it all makes sense when you see them together on screen.
I'm excited for this one. I think the whole premise sounds really cute, because she's the historian. He's a designer, right?
Christmas decorator.
Interior decorator. And so they're tasked to put together this party between the two of them. And normally, to be honest,
they're tasked by Julia Duffy's character, Amanda Clark, who oversees all the goings-ons at the Plaza, to create an installation for that speaks to the history of Christmas at the Plaza. So something nice and elegant. And the two are paired up to finish this project.
Okay. So it's not as much, because normally the party planning movies aren't my favorite. It can just get a little boring for me, because like I can't go to this party, so seeing them plan it can be kind of dull for me.
Right. This is not so much planning a party. It's finding out what the story of Christmas at the Plaza means. That's sort of Jessica Cooper's way in. She's trying to find what the story is. And then pretty soon she finds what the piece is going to be about, but there's also a missing piece. And I don't know if I can speak too much about it, but then we go on this adventure to find out what's missing in the history of the Plaza. And that brings our two leads on this sort of adventure.
That sounds really fun, because the party planning ones, it just can be like, I don't really care what food is ordered for the banquet, or you know what I mean? Like they just can usually end up being kind of boring for me. And so, but if there's sort of if it's more sort of them making this art, this installation, and their different points of view and the sort of the witty banter, then I think that could be really fun.
Yeah. I mean, when we're taught as actors and improvisers to create stories on stage, I can't speak to the genius of Ron's writing and directing, Ron Oliver's writing and directing process. So I won't speak to that. But as an actor who does improv, we're taught and a story is only so interesting if you're pointing at something else that's not on stage, if you're making it about something that's outside of the characters. So certainly the adventure that we're on is sort of an excuse to then see what's going on really between the characters. Ron's created this beautiful story. It's very I know it's very personal for him because he's got a very personal relationship with the Plaza Hotel in New York. Mm-hmm. It's very romantic for him and his husband, and mm-hmm. how they spend their time before Christmas with the in-laws. And so for him to make this movie, he wrote it, mm-hmm. and it's a great romantic tale. The adventure is built in there, but I think the true story for me anyways, after reading the script, is about being present in the moment. There's so much that goes on in the Plaza Hotel in this movie, right from the first frame, right from the first few seconds. There's so much activity. There's this flurry of what's happening. One of the characters even says that nothing unimportant ever happens at the Plaza Hotel. So you've got to keep your mm-hmm. eyes peeled. But there's so much going on that you just have to be present. And it feels very much like the story is really about that sudden chosen family that you just happen to be with when you're really present. All the different people that happen to be in your life in the moment. And it's not about, Christmas is 3 weeks away. It's actually Christmas is here right now with you, with the people that you're immediately around. And I think that story really, it really makes it very effective in Christmas at the Plaza. You really get a sense that this is this sudden wonderful family that's come together with a common goal.
Yeah, I mean, what's refreshing to me about this is that we've seen so many times the girl from the city coming back to the small town, and that can be done. It can be done well, and I can enjoy it. But this is just such like a different environment for for a Hallmark movie. And I always joke that in the city, the only way you could be a good person in a Hallmark movie is if you are a window designer or you run a parade. So, but this
the parade movies are great. I love the parade movies.
They're but really good.
Yeah, that's just because I'm really 12 years old in the brain. I just love like those big mascots and inflatables and colorful things.
Yeah. So this is really different. I mean, to have these two dedicated to their career people in New York City. You've got the Plaza Hotel. I mean, and I do love Christmas in New York so much. So even if it's not all shot there, I just knowing, having that environment and that ambiance, I think is really, I'm very, very excited to see it for sure.
Yeah, and from what I've seen, it's very elegant, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of the Plaza in the movie as well. Like we wanted to have the characters create something special about the history of Christmas at the Plaza Hotel. Well, the production has certainly under the direction of Ron Oliver has created a piece that speaks to the history of Christmas at the Plaza as well. So it's going to be quite a treat. Yeah. Anyone who loves Hallmark and loves how festive Hallmark and the Hallmark brand can be, this movie is really bringing Christmas and that taste of Christmas at the Plaza to everybody at home.
I'm really looking forward to it because I don't know. I just love that whole environment. When I've been to Christmas in New York City a couple times, but it's very special to me because in 2000 I went on a trip with my cousin and my grandma, and we just had the best time, the best trip. We went to the whole hook for my grandma was we will go see the Rockettes. My grandma loved the Rockettes so much. We're like, we'll go. Well, it'll be so fun. And so she did. And they both passed on now, both my cousin and my grandma. And so I just think back to that trip. It was just such special memories. And I don't know, it's just it is a kind of a magical place. And so I'm excited to see something kind of a little bit different, it'll be nice, especially because we'll have a movie every single day that week of Thanksgiving week, to be able to just have one that's got a little bit of a different setting. And
I love that you had that experience with your grandma and your cousin going to see the Rockettes.
Yeah.
that experience speaks, that's sort of a New York experience that speaks to me too. I've only been to New York one weekend. Mm-hmm. And it's a weird thing, that city. It's this legendary American city, mm-hmm. that Ron Oliver says it's the city of our dreams, because it's been in TV and film so much that when you arrive in New York, you're like, wait, I know these buildings.
Yeah.
I know these streets because we've seen it so much from home.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really feel like you're going somewhere else. You actually feel like you're arriving in the place that you've always seen and always understood. And the idea that your grandma saw the Rockettes and really felt a special connection with it. New York's that place where you do feel that you've arrived. There's this connection with, I love this and I love this, or you know, there's your interests, but there's also this sense that everybody's here, so I can just be me. It's kind of different from other big cities where I find with some cities you go and you feel like you just want to fit in, mm-hmm. right, to whatever that vibe that city has. Mm-hmm. But New York, it feels like everybody just shows up as them. Mm-hmm. You know, there's only one of this guy.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's like when I saw some of the city workers, these big burly guys working, and they work round the clock, like 3 a.m. They're still working. And there was one guy who was just like I'm the guy with the leather cap and the waist pack and the weightlifting gloves. That's me.
Yeah.
I was like, that's amazing. And then there was, you know, at 5 o'clock in the morning, there's the guy in the gold lamé Speedos and the rollerblades rollerblading down Manhattan. And I was like, yep, that's him. Yeah. He showed up today. And then it's just this, everyone, there's one of everybody, as opposed to this like people trying to just fit in. It was like, no, everyone here's showing up. And that's kind of very, very exciting energy. I love New York for that vibrancy.
We'd like to take a second from our interview with Nelson to thank our second sponsor for this episode of the podcast. They are Skylight Frame. And right now is a special holiday offer. You can get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com, enter code Hallmark. So not Hallmarkies, Hallmark for this one. And you'll get the $10 off, and you go to Skylight Frame, SKYLIGHTFRAME.com, code Hallmark. And this is really cool. I mean, we've had digital frames around for many years, but I've never seen one like this where you can upload everything completely digitally. And what's really cool is that people can email photos directly to your frame. So you could be looking at your frame and surprise picture from a relative or somebody, a member of your family or anybody who wants to send you a photo. And that would be such a fun surprise. And you could even make it so it's a regular thing. Like you could have every Friday people share their photos, you know, with grandma. Such a fun surprise to have a picture from your sister or a picture from, because my sisters live in England right now. And so it would be very easy for them to just shoot a email with a picture of what's going on in their lives. And that would be such a delightful little surprise. I think they're very well made. They're very attractive. Right now you can get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight Frame if you go to skylightframe.com, enter code Hallmark. And so that's Skylight Frame, SKYLIGHTFRAME.com, promo code Hallmark. I was listening to an interview with Tim Gunn once where he said, they were like, do you critique other people's fashion? You know, when you see them, you're like, oh, dude, you know, not like this outfit or whatever. And he was like, no, as long as they own it, then it's great. And I just thought that was really a cool thing, that just as long as you're not apologizing for, you know, wearing the leather fanny pack, like if you own it, then it's great.
Yeah, it goes to what we were speaking about earlier about, you know, how it works for couples to be different from each other. We need that diversity. We need that vibrancy, mm-hmm. so that we can learn from each other and also balance with each other as well, to get curious and to see that vibrancy that we can't do by ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like I said, I'm very much looking forward to it. And it's so crazy that he not only was directing it, but that he wrote it too. I'm like, where does he have the time?
I mean, he's a machine.
He makes like 6 movies a year plus, right? I'm like, wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, he was pretty much born to do this. I don't know where it comes from, but he's quite a genius in my mind, and I think the fans can agree that he creates these worlds that are so elegant, engaging, and full of feeling and fun. I really hope people watch Christmas at the Plaza and enjoy it as much as we enjoyed making it.
Yeah.
It was actually a lot of the family that we've picked up over the years. Like there's plenty of the Christmas Train represented in it. Mm. Ron and Kenny's back. Karen Holness is back for I love her too. She's back for Christmas at the Plaza, and our producer Karen Spiegel on Christmas Train. She's also she also worked on Christmas at the Plaza. So, and then I also worked with Ryan Pavey, Mr. Ryan Pavey, on Hope at Christmas, which Ron wrote.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I forgot that.
Right. So that was actually the first movie. I was Kenny where Ron wasn't directing, but Ron had written it. So it's a very special movie this year. It really does feel like it's from our family to yours. Mm-hmm. Just the idea that we've all worked together and we all had a wonderful time doing it. And even the story, I think, is about that sort of sudden chosen family that you have in the moment. And certainly in our glimpse, in our moment of being able to make the movie, it was a fun family feeling on set. And I really hope that people get that when they're watching it.
Now, you making so many Christmas movies, and I know a lot of these are filmed in the summer. Do you get kind of burnt out on Christmas where you're just like, I'll pass when it actually comes because you've done so many?
Well, my relationship with Christmas is a weird one. Mm-hmm. I never really liked it when I was growing up. You know, immigrant family, we didn't really do it. I didn't really understand it. And like all through growing up, it just felt alien to me, or kind of a chore, or I just didn't feel like I fit in with it. And oddly enough, it wasn't until I met Ron, and we became friends. Mm-hmm. He loves Christmas.
Yeah.
Ron Oliver absolutely loves Christmas. It's a special occasion for him to, bring the family and friends together. And, I think you can tell in his movies that he just loves everything about it. Like the decorating, the spirit of Christmas, and how people are moved by it. So he really, I now spend my Christmases with him and the family that we have, through friendship, I spend with him and his husband and all the friends down there. And, it's really a marvelous time. So I now love Christmas. And I don't really tire of it. If I see any of the decorations, it's fun. The music I love. I now have like a holiday Christmas playlist that's on my iPhone all year round. Love hearing Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin singing Christmas carols.
Christmas songs. My favorite thing. So you were basically converted to Christmas through Hallmark movies.
Essentially converted to Christmas through Hallmark movies. Well, I think more and more people are. Every Friday is Christmas now on the Hallmark Channel?
Well, so yeah, they're moving it. They always move everything around. So I kind of joke that we should be, our new name for the podcast will be, we cover whatever they decide to air. Subtitle, because it changes so much. They're just like, okay, whatever. Yeah, so that's really cool. I love that story because, you know, we focus so much on family so much that we forget of, as you're saying, the family you create of your friends and your that can be just as rewarding. And well, it can be more so. Let's be honest. Sometimes the it can be a little stressful. but that's really cool. It's a really sweet story. So what we like to do at the end of our interviews is we have what we call the team beat questions, which are these silly questions, and we have a holiday edition.
Okay.
Christmas edition. So here we go.
What is this, your, like, rapid fire?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Okay.
So what is your favorite holiday drink?
My favorite holiday drink is it's not a Tiny Tim, sadly. sad for Tiny Tim.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, my favorite holiday drink is it's kind of a secret.
Yeah.
But okay, you guys will all keep a secret, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so Ron and I, on Christmas morning, when everybody's still asleep, we will go visit Santa Claus. So we wake up at 6 a.m.
Yes.
And there's a drinking establishment in Palm Springs called Score Bar that's open at 6 a.m. And the bartender is dressed as Santa Claus. And we'll go visit Santa.
Yeah.
Just to start the day right.
Right.
because it's Christmas.
Sure.
And they make the most wonderful tequila sunrises just to start the morning off.
Yeah. Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho.
That's right.
Just to get a little festive.
Very
that's
good.
That's a secret. Don't tell anybody.
Okay. We'll keep it between
Nobody
us.
Nobody knows. Nobody knows.
And the podcast.
We're just finishing wrapping gifts. It's Christmas Day. What are we doing?
Yeah. So what is your favorite holiday cookie or treat?
My favorite holiday cookie or treat. My favorite holiday cookie or treat. Oh, there's so many. There's so many during the holidays. Ron's husband Eric makes the best treats, but he's always doing something different. But he makes the best cookies. And his sister Janie makes this amazing peanut brittle. So it's really about what they're bringing. I just love it. she just brings like tins and tins and tins and tins of treats. She packs them in her car, and then by the time she gets to Christmas, it's me just nibbling on everything.
We just had actress Donna Benedicto on the podcast, and she was just cracking us all up by telling us all about this craft services and like the delicious food that they have there on the set. She's like, I don't know. So
it's tough to keep from just grazing all the time.
Yeah. So what is your favorite Christmas song or carol? You said you have your playlist.
Mistletoe and Holly by Frank Sinatra.
Oh.
That is cool. I just love the way it begins with just that little blink, 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 blink.
Yeah.
And it's just so warm and slow and delightful. And Frank's voice is so gorgeous. I never tire of hearing that one. Mistletoe and Holly, for sure.
Very good. Okay. Do you have a favorite Christmas movie that you watch every year?
Favorite Christmas movie. I like discovering new ones. You know, every Christmas it seems to be a new one. So I guess I don't have a go-to.
Yeah.
Christmas movie. There's still some sinfully that I have never seen. Our movie Christmas at the Plaza takes place at the Plaza Hotel, and apparently so did Home Alone 2.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
And I've not seen either Home Alone's.
Oh, Nelson.
Right? That's a cinema sin right there, isn't it?
Oh my gosh.
Especially as an actor, like, that's a great Joe Pesci. Those are two great Joe Pesci movies that I haven't seen. Not to mention everybody else in the cast, of course.
They are. Home Alone is like a foundation movie for me. It was one of the first movies in a theater that ever like really made me laugh when I was, I was 9 years old when it came out. And I went with my grandparents and just laughing so hard. And I've always just loved it. So you'll have to work on that and let us know what
I can name one that comes to mind. Was one of the Gremlins a Christmas movie, or was the original Gremlins a Christmas
Gremlins
movie?
For sure, yeah.
Right, because little Gizmo was a Christmas present, right?
Yeah,
I'm gonna call that one Gremlins.
Okay, good.
No, I like to watch new ones every year.
Yeah.
I'm surprised at what adventures take place over Christmas. There's a lot of action movies.
That's very true. And horror movies. There really are. Yeah.
So that's always fun.
Very good. Okay.
It balances out the festivities sometimes.
What is your favorite? It sounds like maybe going to visit Santa Claus is your favorite holiday tradition, but do you have anything else besides that Christmas morning?
Oh. In terms of traditions?
Yeah, like decorating a tree or just some kind of tradition like that.
Yeah, I do. I come down early. We go to Ron's place and we set up the tree. Mm-hmm. And decorating the Christmas tree is definitely one of my favorite things to do, because you open up the box and it's not only setting it up so it looks nice and there's the lights, but every ornament it has a story to it. It's either a gift from a friend or a memory that you had from a Christmas past, or things that you like to put on the tree, and they represent different members of the family. So decorating the Christmas tree is definitely one of my favorite traditions.
That's comes great. To mind. So I don't know if you, since the next question is, what's a memorable Christmas gift you received or have given? I don't know, since you didn't really celebrate it as a kid, you probably don't have a Red Ryder BB gun kind of moment, but anything you particularly, a special gift?
I think special gift. I mean, I've had I've been so lucky to have wonderful presents.
Yeah.
It's the time. I mean, the presents are always nice. And I think I'm rather spoiled down at Christmas with the friend family there.
Yeah.
When it comes to presents, but it's really the time spent with each other. We spend time with the family, and then there's the evenings where we are sitting by the fire and sharing stories and reviewing how our year went and how things are going for each other in our lives. And that's really the special time, I think, that is the real gift every year.
Yeah, that's great. All right. So which would you prefer, Scrooge or the Grinch?
Like to hang out with?
Well, just they're because they're both kind
the
of
Grinch for sure.
Because they're both kind of the cantankerous characters who hate Christmas and at the start and we go. So all right, good.
I think the Grinch is cool to hang out with, but I really like the story of Scrooge. He seems to have more wisdom to impart.
Yeah,
but the Grinch seems like he'd be cool to hang out with.
There you go. Good answer. Do you like clear lights or colored?
Ooh, that's a good question. Oh, that's a really good question. Oh, that's tough. That's a tough one. I like colored ones on the outside, right? Because it's like, it's so festive.
Yeah.
But then if the tree's got like so many colors, then I kind of like the clear ones, because then it shows off the colors of the bulbs or the balls. Yeah.
Cool. That's good. That's good.
Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Would you rather be in a snowball fight or build a snowman?
Oh, build a snowman.
Okay. Good. Good. All right.
I bruise easily.
Would you consider yourself a good gift wrapper or not?
I consider myself a good gift wrapper, but then people like make fun of it.
That's funny.
People give me that side eye sort of look when they're like, really? Couldn't have. So.
You're working progress.
I think it's good.
That's
but
funny.
it's apparently not so great.
It's cute.
I'm not one of the ones that are like really good at you know what you do with the ribbons and you stretch it so that it coils.
Yeah, curling.
I'll do one the right way and then one just turns into this sad backward C and I don't know what to do with it. And it doesn't stretch anymore to do that cool spiral thing. So, that might tell you if I'm a good gift wrapper or not.
All right. Last question. Do you have an ugly Christmas sweater? What is your ugliest Christmas sweater?
I actually don't. But on Jingle Round the Clock, we had ugly Christmas sweaters, and there was a store close by set on our last day, and they were selling Christmas sweaters. So I grabbed a bunch, and I got some for I got some for Brooke and her writing partner Michael. Brooke. I got one for Brooke. Mm-hmm. I got one for Brooke, and it was like, I think it was like, it was padded. I'm trying to remember what it was. It was like the, I think it was like the butt of a reindeer.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
For some reason. It's like blue and brown and snow. I think there might've been a chimney. I think it was a reindeer trying to go down the chimney.
Oh, right. That sounds good.
I think it was that one. Yeah. It was pretty, I thought it was gorgeous.
Should have taken that from set.
Yeah.
But that movie must have really connected with you, because it was all about, you know, the friends yeah. Group.
It was such a treat to be part of an ensemble cast, and everybody was so friendly and so unique, mm-hmm. and different. I feel like it's the closest to a Friends episode that I've ever seen on Hallmark.
Right. Agreed. That's great. Well, thank you so much. It's been so much fun talking with you. I really appreciate it. And do you have social media that you'd like to share?
Oh, yes. I'm on Instagram. I'm at Nelson Wong Actor. And on Twitter, I'm at Nelson Wong Actor.
Great.
And yeah, that's about it.
Okay. We'll have that all in the description section. People definitely want to follow Nelson. And thank you so much. This was a lot of fun. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, too. And have a great rest of the season. And, and hope you enjoy Christmas at the Plaza.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. And say Merry Christmas from us to Ron and everybody there that we're so grateful for all they do.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. And Merry Christmas to you. Thank you, Rachel.
All right. Bye. We'd like to thank Nelson for coming on the podcast. That was so much fun to get to talk with him. And so let us know your thoughts of all the different things that we discussed. We'd love to hear on Twitter or in the comment section. And make sure you're following us at Hallmark Geeks Pod and the Hallmark Geeks Podcast, all over social media and on iTunes and YouTube. If you're listening on iTunes, please give us your ratings and reviews. And if you're listening on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. We appreciate that as well. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all over social media on iTunes and YouTube and on Rotten Tomatoes. So make sure to check that out and consider, if you're looking for a holiday purchase, a holiday gift for your friends, check out our merch store where we have exclusive designs by artist Jessica Miller, and they are so cute. And then we also have our patron group, which we would just love if you became a member of the patron group. We have exclusives, we have giveaways, we really try to make it worth your while. So thanks so much, and we will talk to you all later. Merry Christmas!